In talking to authors on this program, we regularly hear them credit a book's success to the word of mouth from terrific independent booksellers. We put aside time each Tuesday to celebrate the region's independence and have them bring us to new places and explore new books. Connie Brooks of Battenkill Books in Cambridge, New York, is here with some wonderful suggestions. Connie, always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Well, thanks for having me, as always. Good morning.
Well, good morning. Where would you like to begin?
Okay. Well, I'm really excited about this list of books that I brought in. And I thought that I would start with The Secret Keeper by Kate Morton. And in her newest books, and she previously has brought us The Forgotten Garden, which is kind of a riff on The Secret Garden, and The House at Riverton. Those are some that folks may recognize. But in her newest one, Morton brings us to a family farm in the English countryside. And during a summer party, 16-year-old Laurel Nicholson has escaped to her childhood treehouse where she is daydreaming about her future. She spies a stranger coming up the long road to the farm and watches as her mother speaks to him. Then, before the afternoon is over, Laurel witnesses a shocking crime, which challenges everything she knows about her family and especially her vivacious, loving mother. Now, 50 years later, Laurel is a successful and well-regarded actress living in London. The family is gathering for her mother's 90th birthday. Realizing that this may be her last chance, Laurel decides to search for answers to the questions that still haunt her from that long ago day, answers that can only be found in her mother's past.
Mm-hmm.
And the next book, which is, we should be required to sell it with a box of Kleenex, is, it should be a law, Love, Anthony by Lisa Genova. And it's truly a heartbreaking story. It's about motherhood and love and hope. And one of the main characters is Olivia Donatelli, and her dream of a normal life is shattered when her son Anthony is diagnosed with autism at age 3. She struggles to understand his world. He's nonverbal, hates to be touched, and almost never makes eye contact. Just as Olivia begins to come to grips with her son's diagnosis and her own transformed life, her son dies. Reeling with grief, she separates from her husband and retreats to a cottage on Nantucket, where she desperately seeks to understand the meaning of her son's life. A chance encounter with another woman who is facing her own loss changes both of their lives and slowly brings Olivia closer to understanding the son that she was only beginning to know. And it grabs you from page one and, you know, don't read it in a public place.
Yeah, just be a mess. You got to clean up.
Exactly. Anyway. No mascara for you ladies.
Get everything together. Wonderful.
The next book I just wanted to mention briefly, because in the news this past week was the canonization of 7 new Catholic saints, including Marianne Cope, a nun who devoted 30 years of her life to her treatment of those with Hansen's disease on the Hawaiian island of Molokai. And so just briefly, I wanted to mention one of my favorite books of all time, which is titled Molokai by Alan Brenner, a fictional account of the island and its colony of lepers. The story centers on Rachel, a 7-year-old Hawaiian girl who is exiled to Molokai when she shows symptoms of leprosy. Her life, which one assumes would end with this exile, has only just begun. And we read it for book club recently in the store, and we all loved it. It's so sad and yet also hopeful and wonderful. And I was just reminded of it. So
the book is Molokai.
Next, A Thousand Mornings by Mary Oliver. And I think that if there was an award for most loved American poet, I think Mary Oliver would win every year. So it is with pleasure that we anticipate a new volume of her poetry. In A Thousand Mornings, she returns to images that will be familiar to her readers, transporting us to the marshes and coastline of her home in Provincetown, Massachusetts. Oliver shares with us the wonder of dawn, the grace of animals, and the transformative power of attention. She understands the power in the smallest of moments, whether studying the leaves of a tree or mourning a beloved dog, and her patient observations open up a whole world for us. And I know people will be coming in to get that one.
It sounds wonderful.
It promises to be so.
Excellent.
Next is probably my favorite on the list that I brought in today, and it's a book called The Old Ways, A Journey on Foot by Robert McFarlane. And in this wonderful book, McFarlane sets off from his home in Cambridge, England, to follow the ancient tracks, holloways, drove roads, and sea paths that crisscross the British landscape. The result is an enthralling exploration of the ghosts and voices that haunt old paths and of pilgrimage and ritual. Told in McFarlane's distinctive voice, The Old Ways folds together natural history, cartography, geology, archaeology, and literature. Mm. His walks take him from the chalk downs of England to the bird islands of the Scottish Northwest. And along the way, he crosses paths with walkers of many kinds, wanderers, pilgrims, guides, and artists. And above all, this is a book about walking as a journey inward and the subtle ways that we are shaped by the landscapes through which we move. McFarlane discovers that paths offer not just a means of moving through space, but of feeling, knowing, and thinking.
The book is The Old Way, A Journey on Foot by Robert McFarlane.
Next is When America First Met China, An Exotic History of Tea, Drugs, and Money in the Age of Sail by Eric J. Dolan. And the U.S.'s relationship to China is almost always in the news, and we certainly heard it mentioned in the presidential debate last night. And author Eric J. Dolan traces our fraught relationship with China back to its roots. He explores the trade in furs, opium, and tea, among other items, which sparked our nascent country's economy. We see the United States at a juncture in history that is usually given little thought. We were, of course, the new kid on the block, a newly sovereign nation, only recently the victor in our War of Independence. Dolan explores the history of import and export taxes, the start of luxury imports to the United States, and the role of independent financiers in the U.S.'s trade efforts. He effortlessly brings the era alive with anecdotes about everyone from the Chinese emperor to crafty politicians to the pirates on the seas. And in illuminating the history of our trading relationship with China, sheds light on the partnership that remains uneasy to this day.
When America First Met China, An Exotic History of Tea, Drugs, and Money in the Age of Sail, Eric J. Dolan is the author.
Next, probably the most unusual book that I have seen in recent months, and it is Skulls, An Exploration of Alan Dudley's Curious Collection by Simon Winchester. Any topic that Simon Winchester chooses to take up is bound to be fascinating, and this is the guy who made the history of the Oxford English Dictionary enthralling, you may remember. At the center of this book are 300 stunning photographs of the skulls of animals that walk, swim, and fly. The skulls are from the collection of Alan Dudley, a British collector and owner of what is probably the largest and most complete private collection of skulls in the world. And not many of us can say that.
Nope.
Winchester goes on to tell us the rich and fascinating story of skulls, both human and animal, from every perspective imaginable, historical, biographical, cultural, and iconographic, presenting details about the parts of the skull, information about the science and pseudoscience of skulls, and a look at skulls in religion, art, and popular culture. His stories and information are riveting and enlightening, and once you pick this book up, it's hard to put down.
Skulls, An Exploration of Alan Dudley's Curious Collection by Simon Winchester.
Next, I brought in, it's a young adult novel, and it is Sun by Lois Lowry. And Sun is the long-awaited conclusion to The Giver Quartet, the first three books being The Giver, then Gathering Blue, and The Messenger by Lois Lowry. The fourth and final book, Sun, ties in elements from the first three books, but also certainly could be read on its own. And when Lowry wrote The Giver, which is the first book in the series, it became a classic dystopian novel before dystopian was even recognized as a genre, which I think says a lot about her power as a storyteller. In Sun, we meet 13-year-old Claire, who, unlike the other birth mothers in her utopian community, forms an attachment to her baby. And she feels a great loss when he is taken away to be adopted into a family unit per the rules of the society she lives in. Claire doesn't know what has become of her child or even what his name is. She is driven to find him, so she sets out on an epic journey to try and discover his whereabouts, which is really only the beginning of this marvelous book.
I've read more about this book in the last month. It is
every with good
review
reason.
and it's all over the place. And yes, with good reason. It's Sun by Lois Lowry.
And then one dear to my heart, A Year of Pies, A Seasonal Tour of Home-Baked Pies by Ashley English. And it seems like the right time of year to be talking about pie, even though this wonderful cookbook has recipes that cover all four seasons. There are over 60 pie, quiche, and tart recipes here for both sweet and savory pies. For autumn, how about trying the rosemary bourbon sweet potato pie?
Okay.
Or perhaps the apple creme brulee mini pies.
Ooh.
Yes. Our own local author up in our area and blogger, Jenna Wogenrich, contributed a recipe for her harvest quiche. And A Year of Pies was named one of Booklist's top 10 food books of 2012. And I can personally attest to the tastiness of at least one of the recipes, because last night I made the shepherd's pie. And shepherd's pie, you know, can be good. Sometimes it can be really not very flavorful.
This was
the best shepherd's pie that my husband and I agreed we'd ever had. So that is high praise, because I've tried many of them. So.
A Year of Pies, A Seasonal Tour of Home-Baked Pies by Ashley English. And that concludes your list, but you have some exciting events coming up, and we have a few minutes. So.
Yeah, we have a lot going on, especially in November. We first have, he is a painter of renown, Adriano Minocchia, and he's known for his scenes of rivers and mountains and wildlife, and he's come out with a book that's a retrospective of his work. It's called Water, Sky, and Time, The Paintings of Adriano Minocchia. Adriano will be in signing those books November 10th at 6 o'clock at the bookstore. Then the next week, we have an author coming in. Her name's Rebecca Hart, and she wrote a book called The Call of the Sea. And Rebecca's going to talk about not only her book, but this is her first book published. And she's kind of a veteran. She was blogging, and she was publishing things electronically. And this was her first venture into a print book. And she's really negotiated, do you self-publish? Do you approach a big publisher? Or do you kind of go in the middle and approach a smaller publisher? What genre do you put your book? Do you call this young adult, and do you write for that audience? Do you put it in the romance category, put it in the erotic category? She's kind of negotiated all of this for her first book, and she does a really nice explanation of things that might help others who are thinking about doing that. And then we have a Vermont storyteller, Tom Weekly, and his new memoir, The Stories. That's November 15th at 7 o'clock. And sorry, Rebecca's on the 13th. And Tom's reflecting on his life. He's been a stage performer, and just has a lot of great stories. And so this is the onstage performer taking his stories to book format and sharing those with us. So
Vermont storyteller Tom Weekly, The Stories, on the 15th of November at 7 o'clock. And Rebecca Hart, The Call of the Sea, on the 13th, also at 7 o'clock. You can find out more information about Bat and Kill Books and all the wonderful events by going to batandkillbooks.com, batandkillbooks.com. You can also see the list there as well. Better yet, visit them at 15 East Main Street in Cambridge, New York. They're right on the main drag, and an absolutely beautiful store. Spend hours just browsing and poking around and having a great time. I say this from experience. It's a lot of fun. Connie, it's always a pleasure. Thank you very much
for
being with us and sharing.
Us.